Need a voice like that guy, huh? Boy, that's impressive. At the arena bar. I mean, I can't even imitate it. That's like, well, it's not as cool as Sam Elliott, but it's up there. Anyway, we are the Doll Ford AD in the morning show, broadcasting live from Rhythm City Casino Studios. Hope everybody's off to a great start on a hail yeah Thursday. Local news this half hour brought to you by Rich Bassford, the Bassford team at Remax Concepts. They've got instant offer concepts. That crazy Bassford. Yeah. I mean, I think he was probably hanging out with some celebrities out in L.A. or something, and then just, bing, the light bulb goes on, and he's like, you know what people would love? Instant offers. To the point, they did 50 of those last year. 50. You get a hold of Bassford and the Bassford team within 8 business days, check in hand. Thank you, Rich Bassford. And, of course, they also have a guaranteed sales program. You list with them, you see what the offers are out there, and if you don't get what you want, Rich Bassford will still just buy it at the end. That's why they call it a guarantee, and it's a good one because it's coming from Rich Bassford. Go to richbassford.com. It's richbassford.com, and start packing. Joining us now on the Doll Ford AD in the Morning Show, brand new guest. We've never had her on before. It's Abigail Moss. She is the Iowa County Supervisor and a candidate for state auditor in the state of Iowa. Abigail, how's it going today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good. It's just me today, Mike. So my co-host, Mike, wasn't able, he's got some, he does a lot of cat volunteer stuff, like for cats. Him and his lady are into cats a lot. But he's like our Iowa guy. He's lived in Clinton his whole life. He's retired now, and he's all in on Iowa. And then he was looking forward to this interview, but sadly couldn't be here today. But he's here in spirit. But
That's totally fine.
I was actually going to ask if he was the reason that you got a hold of us to come on the show, because I was like, we don't get a lot of people for Iowa politics stuff to reach out. And I was like, very excited to have someone actually want to talk to us.
Yeah, no, I actually, to be totally honest, I reached out to pretty much every news station in the state of Iowa. So.
Okay, so now we're not special. All right, we got that out of the way. All right, that's good.
I hate to tell you that, yes.
Oh, no, it's okay. You're just doing, you're working hard. I mean, that's...
You took me up, so that makes you special.
Okay.
Let's start there.
See, yes. Oh, all right. Now we're off on the right foot. But I want to say right away, that just shows you're a hard worker, because everybody else doesn't do that, by the way.
Yes.
So there's a handful, and we have some folks that we've known and talked to for a long time, recurring on this show, that are, you know, in politics one way or the other. But for people to, like, reach out, I'm just going to say, right out of the gate, you're working harder than most of the other people running for office right now.
That's a fact. I'll tell you that.
And that's a good sign.
Yes. Well, that's what you want in a statewide elected and especially an auditor.
Right. So since you brought it up, what the hell does a state auditor do?
That's a great question. So first, we have to audit the entire state government and the financial records there. That is priority number one. And then we also can contract with local governments, so cities, counties, schools, instead of using a private firm, if they want to contract with the state auditor's office, you can take those on as well. And it just depends on the workload and how many employees you have, et cetera. And then we also have to do re-audits, which are when a local government official like myself, I can request the state auditor's office to look into something if I think something's fishy. So we'll come in and we do what we call the re-audit, and we kind of hone in on the exact issue that they were looking for, and we examine it and give them back a report.
Have you ever heard of the city of Davenport?
I have. I was just there the other night, yes.
I mean, do you just plan, if you win coming up here in November, is the plan you just get like an apartment there so you can be there often? Because Davenport's, I don't know. It's a fun little city, I tell you. A lot of stuff in the news, if you will.
Yes, I've been watching that, but I hate to say this, but it's going on everywhere. And the reality is the small towns are just as bad, if not worse, just because they don't have the oversight like Davenport does. They have to have a yearly audit. But if you're less than 2,000 in population, the code only requires you to get audited every 8 years. And it's just wild to me, and that's something that I do want to change as state auditor. But local government, the small ones, they go, you know, 8 years before they ever have oversight.
Wow. And I bet the majority of Iowa towns are probably 2,000 people or less. And then you get, like, the good old boys in their town, and they got things cornered.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Over 80% of our towns, yeah.
Wow.
And they levy, I think, $117 million statewide. on a yearly basis. So think about that. How much money goes unaccounted for statewide on a yearly basis. It's crazy.
That is crazy. It's kind of, I had no idea, or no one's really presented the numbers like that before. And that's not something I would expect from a Kim Reynolds run state.
Well, here's the thing. So one more thing before I get into why I think this is occurring, but we do have townships too, and I think it's really important to point out that they're not audited whatsoever.
Oh.
So if you, they also fund our rural fire departments, so they're very important, and you might not think they levy a lot of money, but across the state, it's still $51 million a year that we, I would call, we throw the money in the wind because we're not going back and checking the books.
Yeah. That's kind of wild. I had no idea. Yeah, there's a lot of townships. I mean, that's that adds up pretty quick.
1,600 of them, to be exact.
Wow, you are sharp as a tack.
I'm a numbers girl. That's why I'm running for auditor.
obviously. Wow. So what's, if you would tell us kind of some of your background. Now, I know you're Iowa County supervisor right now, but what else have you done? What's brought you up to this point? Where are you from originally in Iowa?
A lot of things. I'm from Iowa County, Iowa, which is where I'm a supervisor. I was born and raised here. I now live in Iowa Township of Iowa County, so I like to joke I'm the most Iowan in the room.
I mean,
you're from my township.
Hold on a second. You're from the Iowa Township in Iowa County in the state of Iowa.
Correct.
That's a little much, Abigail Moss. I mean, come on.
Well, I'm just a big Iowa fan. I don't
Hey, we broadcast the Hawkeyes on our station. I'm just putting that out there.
I don't play favorites there. I couldn't care less about sports, to be honest. So,
well, that's a shame, but I understand. You're a numbers person.
Exactly. But, yeah, so born and raised in Iowa County. I actually went to pharmacy school at Drake, of all things. And then I don't do anything with that now, and I farm full-time with my husband and father-in-law. We are raising our kids on our sixth-generation family farm right outside the Manor Colonies.
That's awesome.
And then, yep, business owner. I own a horse boarding facility and a flooring store, very odd things. And then I am a county supervisor, second term. I'm the vice chair. And then I'm certified through our state organization to mentor county supervisors from all across our state.
You're busy.
So, very busy, yeah. Workaholic a bit, yes.
Yeah. Hey, that there's a lot worse aholic things you could be than work.
Yes, I agree. Good too, because I'm going to bring that business sense to the auditor's office. Plus, I'm in the belly of the beast when it comes to local government, and I'm seeing all the waste that's going on. So having that knowledge and that base to bring to the auditor's office, I've already identified what needs changed, and I know how to do it as a business owner. Even with my flooring store, I brought in massive efficiency through an app. When I bought it from the old owner, it was a like pen and paper system. And I introduced an app that from start to finish with a client and managing employees and managing the installers and communications, everything is under one umbrella from beginning to finish with every single client, which has saved me like 25 hours a week of work.
Wow. Efficient.
Yes. So that's the kind of efficiency that we need to bring to the auditor's office, which is why, real quickly, I'll tell you, I want to implement a statewide software system for all the local government, because as I've traveled across our state and helped other supervisors, I'm learning firsthand that none of our software speaks the same language, and it's very hard to go into somebody's books and figure out what's going on unless we get the variables eliminated. So I want everybody to come onto the same platform. And then I want the software to do a lot of the heavy lifting. And I'm not talking AI. I'm talking more just basic business technology where we have just notification systems that are monitoring every single line item. And an alarm or something can go off when it's $5 short instead of finding it 2 to 8 years later and it was $500,000 short. Really simple stuff, but it could do a lot of work for us. So that way we can take on all these extra audits. Because going back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, Governor Reynolds and how is this happening, the reality is we don't have the manpower to do it. So right. That's why we've got to get so much more efficient through this process.
Wow. That's, man. Now, are you already through the primary? Or are you guys the primaries in June?
The primary's in June.
And then regular elections November. I've talked to you for 10 minutes. And I am very impressed. You are very sharp, very on top of everything. You have a plan. you're seeing what's going on because you're in, like you said, the belly of the beast right now.
Thank you.
I think you're going to do just fine. I look forward to seeing what you can do for the state of Iowa. I think people like you are hard to find, especially in this day and age. And you got some rural roots. I love that. If I could vote for you, I'm over in the state of Illinois, but if I could vote for you, I sure as hell would, because that's, again, I don't, there's a few people that we have that will talk plain language and just kind of cut the crap, if you know what I mean, is on the political side.
Yes.
You're one of those people. We don't get a lot of them. I've even had, governors on this show and all, and it's, yeah, you just talk in circles a lot. You're very straightforward. I think that's awesome. Okay, you did bring up AI data, or you brought up data centers. Have you looked at the math on these? I'm curious what your opinion is. Have you looked at the math on what we have going on with data centers nationwide?
As far as, like, the math of their property taxes and the income they bring in, et cetera, or...
No.
Which...
The fact that we're, like, steamrolling our country, like, you know...
Oh, yeah.
18-wheeler yeah. down a hill into an energy crisis.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's a whole other little segment. Like, I know it doesn't pertain to the auditor's office, but I have
right.
a real issue with what we're doing there. Just water quality is an issue, and obviously
yeah.
they take up a lot of water. Energy
yeah.
crisis, like you said. And then the fact that they get such massive property tax incentives to come to Iowa right now,
mm-hmm.
that really, I mean, the reality is that property tax burden is being shifted to the everyday residents for
mm-hmm.
what, maybe 30 jobs, if
yeah.
that.
So it can, well, initially you get the construction jobs out of it, but that's it. And then it's going to take thousands of jobs, as it already is across a lot of different fields, and it's going to get worse. AI is going to break into the medical field soon, and then there's really going to be some people with some, you know, a lot of student loan debt wondering how they're going to pay it because they're a radiologist and, you know, they don't have any jobs anymore because AI does it. But there's 680 proposed AI data centers that are either built, in the process of being built, or they're in the paperwork stages nationwide. Those data centers would require over 150 nuclear plants just to power them. We currently have, I think it's 52 in the U.S. nuclear plants. And
that's crazy.
We're not,
I like that you know those numbers.
I mean, we're smart around here, too. We're involved. And this is one of those things I've been saying from the beginning. This is a bad idea. It's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. And everyone's just like, let's go. AI data center. Yeah. And it's like, what? Like, what are you doing?
Yes.
We're going to give them our water, our jobs. You're going to up it. You're basically flipping the economy upside down. And we are literally driving as fast as we can into an energy crisis. It's completely insane what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see
mm-hmm.
you be a thorn in the side of those things, you know, getting their foot into Iowa, because it's not good. But yeah, it's we don't even have a third of the power plants it's going to require to power all these AI data centers. So you know what's going to happen to folks' energy rates.
Oh, let's get going on that. You know, I'm no stranger to property tax reform legislation, and I've helped quite a bit with it, and I'm at a lot of the subcommittees testifying. You know, I'm very sharp when it comes to property taxes, and I think there's really great ways that we can provide relief. But in the same breath, how can we keep crunching down property taxes when the energy rates are tripling?
Yeah.
And it's just crazy, you know, Alliant Energy with their big green energy new deal. Well, my store is ran by Alliant Energy, and our bill for that is more than our entire farm when we're running bins.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
And that's just a rural electric co-op there.
Wow.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
And they don't have wind turbines that, you know, are providing quote-unquote free energy.
Yeah, real free. And they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And if the wind's not blowing, they don't work. So, and that's why I brought
yep.
up nuclear power, because to me that's our safest bet, you know. And you're not
yep,
burning the you know, the carbon stuff like coal, which now they're reopening coal plants nationwide. They're it's not going to be good. But you are good. You are sharp. You are a great candidate for the state of Iowa, and all the Iowans who listen to this show, I hope you're paying attention. Her name's Abigail Maas. It's MAAS, and you can find her at MaasForIowa.com. Find out more about her. She's the current Iowa County Supervisor in the Township of Iowa, in the state of Iowa.
Love it.
And you are welcome to come on back on the show anytime. We'd love to have you back, say, like mid-May or something, as we're getting a little closer to your primary.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
Real quickly, if we're wrapping up, I do want to share one of my other little prongs of my campaign.
Please do.
I think you'll get really excited about. So with that software system that I want to put in, I want to turn all that data online for the public to see exactly every transaction, dollar for dollar, line item by line item, how our money's being spent. Because it's very convoluted and it's very difficult to figure out what's going on with your property tax dollars. And I think, number one, we can really tackle the property tax issue here in Iowa, but we're also going to really start to cut out the fraud, because shining a light on this and bringing transparency to it should naturally curb the appeal to keep stealing or wasting money. But if these people continue to do so, we can get involved in the local elections and get them out of office. So I think it's really important that we highlight the need for transparency with our dollars, and that's what I intend to do.
I love that. You're absolutely right. I wish you'd come to Illinois and see what you could do over here, because bring a broom, it's a mess. But I'd be careful using the T word too much around other politicians. It makes them a little nervous.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not the insider. I'm not the establishment candidate. And in fact, I think there's maybe a little bit of resistance towards me assuming this office, just because I don't care who you are, if you're Republican or Democrat or what title you hold in the state. Everybody's going to be accountable, and everything will be looked at, and if there are issues, they will be exposed.
Well, the people of Iowa are going to love you. The politicians of Iowa, probably going to be a mixed bag, but I wish you nothing but luck. Like I said, we'd love to have you back on the show again before the primary, and yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. You are very sharp. I talk to a lot of political folks on this show, and you definitely stick out. So keep
Thank
up the
you.
Great work, and keep doing what you're doing. Don't let them shift you to the dark side.
Oh, I won't.
All right. Well,
all right. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Thanks for reaching out. And like I said, I know you're already working harder than everybody else, because you tried to get on the show. So we appreciate that.
No, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You have a great day. Thanks, Abigail Moss. Once again, she's running for state auditor, state of Iowa. It's Moss for Iowa. Check out the website, and we'll see what she can do for the state of Iowa. You have a great one.
You too. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye. All right, then we'll be back. Let's do an 8 o'clock rock block. We'll just do a couple.